This is why I actually said, yes, I'll come and do this with you. Because in 20 years, you know, we've never done a project.
No, we haven't.
How is it that Ilana Africa and Darren Moore haven't done a project together? It's literally, we have the name. It could have been Mall of Africa.
This is a Baby Brunch podcast.
My name is Ilana, and next to me, Darren Moore. I cannot believe you flew in all the way to come and visit. Thank you.
You asked me to.
I did, hey.
And so the next day, I phoned my travel agent and I said, it wasn't like that. I said to my Anna, check my diary. Oh. Then we checked your diary. And then there was a gap.
Do you know no one in 2016 ever, 2016, 2026.
How did you get to 2016?
It was a birth year. It was a birth year.
Yeah?
So we think in birth years. When was your birth year?
When not was your, 2016.
When was your baby born?
Oh, 2008.
Okay, so it was a pretty special year then.
Kind of, I suppose.
A big thank you to our support.
Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life. This podcast is supported by Epimax, the dermatologist recommended skincare range specifically formulated to hydrate, soothe, and protect. Whether it's dry skin, sensitive skin, or just everyday moisture, Epimax has a solution for everybody. Fragrance-free, hypoallergenic, and suitable for all ages.
Thank you so much to Epimax Baby and Junior, to Curaprox and Jacaranda FM. Also, a big thanks to everyone that got Darren to sit in this chair. I cannot believe he flew up all the way from Durban to join us in beautiful Gauteng. Do you like our weather?
This is beautiful. This is a great, beautiful day.
Thank you.
It's warm. There's no humidity. A little bit dry and brown. But otherwise, my nose is getting a bit cracked.
Your biography is 10 pages long. So the only thing I'm going to say is Darren Moore is one of South Africa's most versatile entertainers and performers. I actually know you as a comedian.
That is,
you were, the first time I met you, you were really funny.
And so I used to be.
It's changed. Yeah. No, you were really funny. And I think you really wanted to impress me with how funny you could be.
When was the first time then?
Probably 20 years ago.
Yeah, but where were you? Was it hurricanes?
No, I don't remember. Me?
Yeah.
At hurricanes, Darren, there is no way.
Where were you watching me doing stand-up?
I don't remember.
See, I don't remember our first meeting as well. I do remember like our second meeting, and it was all hugs and kisses, and it was at Urban Brew.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And that was over 20 years ago. Can I tell them that?
Yeah.
It was over 20 years ago. And I can't believe it's been 20 years. This is why I actually said, yes, I'll come and do this with you. Because in 20 years, you know, we've never done a project together.
No, we haven't.
How is it that Ilana Africa and Darren Moore haven't done a project together? It's literally, we have the name. It could have been Mall of Africa.
Darren Moore, Mall of Africa. He did that. That's really, well, hold back the jokes because we'll give you an opportunity to tell some. Because he doesn't know what's coming, right? I didn't give him any of the questions that we're going to ask today.
Stick my phone away.
If people ask you who you are, what do you say?
I say I'm Darren Moore.
Yeah, but who are you?
Oh, like what do you do? Like in conversation?
Like, are you someone's dad? I'll tell you. My name's Ilana. I'm Africa bred and come because I got married. And I got married to a really cool guy. And then we had lots of children.
Yeah.
And now I'm a mom. A podcast founder. I am a conversation starter.
Yeah.
I am best mom in the world, best mom in the world. And then my girls go, no, you're not. So I do that in order for them to say, no, you're not. But they know that I am the best mom in the world. So who are you?
Wow. I'm nowhere near that. I actually, if I get to meet someone who doesn't know who I am, I relish the anonymity and I just say, I'm in broadcast.
Okay.
And they, you know, they tend to not go further and say, oh, that's good.
But you've done comedy for many, many years, and then you changed hats and you went into radio. And I remember the first year they said, Darren's going to be on radio. And I said, really? He's going to be on radio? Because back then I was already in radio.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, he's gonna be on radio now. And I was like, oh, that's cool. It's nice, you know. Has work life treated you well?
I would have appreciated you, Ilana Africa, telling me what I was getting into. But no one told me. I thought because I had theater training, I had Pretoria Tech training, I'd done industrial theater and children's theater and stand-up comedy, and I was the voice of a real-time live interactive animated character. I'd done all this work. Yeah. So when someone said, when Naveen Singh phoned me up and said, come to Breakfast Radio. And I was like, I haven't done that. Surely it's another performance art. No, yeah. No, it's not. It's another universe. And it took me about 3 years to actually even begin to start. Thank goodness for the patience of East Coast Radio, because it took me 3 years just to begin to start to think radio and then to get better at Breakfast Radio. So that was huge. So I never lost the comedy hat, by the way. So I still do that, just not as much. I mean, so before I was on stage 5-6 times a week. And now I'll squeeze in one weekday, and then weekends I try to do, I'm really flexing my MC stuff now. So as opposed to just doing a set, I like to MC the gig because I really get to direct. It's like sparkle. And I'm really, really enjoying that. So I never took that hat off. They're interchangeable.
What's it like having a full-time interchangeable hat and being a family man too? It's the most common, believe it, question that I get from women. And I remember last year during Women's Month, people were asking me the whole time, how do you keep balance? How do you keep balance? And it seemed like women needed this thing called balance. And how I answer it usually is that something has got to give. So sometimes I'm the best mom, and then some days I'm the best performer, and then some days I'm the best cook, and then some. So at this stage of my life, I've decided that I can't be really brilliant at everything. I'm really good, but I can't be really brilliant at everything. And so, how do you juggle those hats and still be the best daddy?
See, what people need to know is that you are actually really brilliant at everything. So, like, you're being modest here, and there's no
me.
Place for that.
Yes. I thought you meant yourself. You are the best. I was like, yes, life, you were born to be the best.
This is my new biggest challenge, is to stop guilting myself. So, whatever I put my energy into perfecting or getting really, really good at, whether it is spending time with family or my emceeing or my stand-up or a new radio feature or mentoring, which is something I'm getting into now as well, there's only so much time in a day. And then after a couple of months, I start kicking myself because I haven't been doing that. It's almost career-wise as well. When I'm like cooking on radio, I miss the TV and the film. And then I get like a TV gig, and then I'm doing that, and I go, oh, you know what? I'm missing the live stuff. And so you always miss the thing that you're not doing. That's me. I miss the thing that I'm not doing, and then I guilt myself for not doing more.
Are there moments in your life where you look back and you wish you were a daddy more instead of a performer or actor?
The biggest guilt is that. The biggest guilt. And they grow up so quickly.
Everyone says that.
Yeah.
No, but they do.
Really
do.
Yeah. They really, really do. And I was, because she's 17.
Yeah.
And so she's a little adult. But as a child, I like to think that I was present as a father, and I did listen, and I made sure that the important things in her life, in her growth as a human, were there. Those influences were there, and that those core memories were there, that she understood them, she relished them. I liked it. But I don't know. You look back and you go, there was that one time where I just had a whole string of gigs, and I kind of missed. I've never missed a birthday. I've never missed a prize giving. She's only fallen off a bike once. My fault. I was falling. I was actually trying to help her up a hill, and then I fell.
Were you on a bike?
Yeah.
Okay. It's very dangerous when you're on a bicycle to try and help someone else on a bicycle.
I figured this out the hard way. I thought I could just grind it and put my hand on the small of her back.
And then both of you fell.
And then I fell, and I dragged her with me. She fell on me. Listen, I was the
you're
airbag.
You're a hero.
I was the airbag. But yeah, there's guilt. You feel bad, and then you have those regrets, and then you try to overcompensate with a teenager, and then she's like, Dad, what are you doing?
You did that so well.
Yeah.
Do it again.
Dad, what are you doing? Yeah.
I want to talk about this quote that I read. So the quote said as follows. It says that the day you marry someone or you hook up with a partner, you're not just hooking up with that partner, you're hooking up with his inner child.
Yeah. I think that's Stay true with us. Of men.
Oh, it is?
I don't know if it's so true. Well, women tend to grow up.
If you had to think of your inner child, right? Where are you? Like, how old are you and what happened?
All right, so my therapist.
I don't know. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to smile when you said my therapist.
My therapist has been helping me put my inner child in the back seat so that I can drive the car a bit more. Because my inner child has been driving the car a little bit too much of late. And I would say my inner child is about 12. He's about 12 years old. And my inner child is reactionary, has a lot to prove, and is fearful. And doesn't want to be shown up. Doesn't want to lose. My inner child is the youngest of five boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to put him in the back seat to the left, so I can still see him in the rearview mirror.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been driving a car for a bit too long. So,
do you find that sometimes you, as a daddy, you, and even just as you, I say dad because you know we talk parenting often and we talk about our children. Do you often find that that stands in the way of you moving forward or being the best that you can be?
Never. Never thought of that for a second.
Mm.
No. And maybe that's where some of my guilt comes from, because I've never said no to work or a challenge.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I never say no.
Go challenge.
Yeah.
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 You can do it.
I think that's the positive side of the inner child, is the fearlessness. Like, I can do that.
Yes.
I will give it a bash.
I'll show them.
I don't mind failing.
Mm.
I have no problem with failing at something. I have no problem with it. I have a problem with not trying something. I don't think anyone can be a failure in anything. You could get really good. Anyone can get really good in anything if you really, really go for it. But yeah, the only thing I'm like, it remains to be seen. I can't say I'm a success as a parent. I think that remains to be seen. I'm going to watch my young adult.
I think you're successful now. You don't need a result. You need luck. You don't need her to become, I don't know, a physicist or a nurse for you to know that you've become the best parent. I think you're the best parent today.
No, I wouldn't measure her success on what she becomes. Not even close. I would measure it by who she is as a person, her sense of correctness and good and morality and her ability to enjoy her life. That would be, if I instilled that in her.
Or Darren, just know that you did your best.
You sounded like my shrink now.
But you did. I've only seen you at your best. Let's think about it. There's a lot of us, you know, in our industry and as parents and just as humans that show up, and we some of us have made mistakes and others have made different mistakes, but we've all done our best.
Mm.
Just like your mom and dad has done their best. It's such a cliche, oh, I love your parents because they were doing their best, but it's true.
Mm.
And now that I'm in the driving seat of parenting, you know, with my husband, I make mistakes too. I've parented three other kids before my 10-year-old, and I had to remind her the other day. I said to her, Mama is also just parenting a 10-year-old this year for the first time this year. So let's do it together, man. Come on.
Yeah. How did that go down?
I got a hug.
That's great.
Best mom in the world, best mom in the world, best mom in the world.
My feelings towards my mom have changed drastically.
What was it like?
What with my mom? I thought my mom was terrible. So I was make sure she doesn't watch this.
she will. Hi, Mom. What's her name?
Catherine.
Hey, Catherine. Your son's here. Why did you resent?
I resented my stepdad, and she chose him.
Okay.
He was an alcoholic and a.
I'm sorry.
And a fiend.
Mm.
And she chose him, and she wouldn't leave him. And when I was 9, she actually said to me, "What do you think? Should I leave him?" And that's why I was so surprised at you going, let's do this together. I don't think you should ask 9-year-olds if mom should break up the family.
No, I think children need assistance with making decisions a lot of the time. They can do some things by themselves.
So by 14 or 15, I felt resentful that I didn't say, yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
I was resentful of the... But mom, this was difficult. Mom was raising 5 boys, and I was the least naughty. Okay, I lied. I was up there with the naughties. And, yeah, 5 boys. And then he had 2 boys as well.
Okay.
And so when it was only recently when I became a part of a blended family that I realized, oh, wait, this is hard. This is really, really hard. This is compromise on compromise, and this is... And then I phoned her and I said, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand.
But you know what? Forgiveness and understanding doesn't have to be instant, because it's your process too.
Yeah.
And your mom had to go through the same process. What I'm curious about is did growing up and the decisions that your mom and those around you make, did that influence how you are as a father and even now as a father in a blended family?
100%. I think everyone I can't talk about other people. I just didn't want to be my mom. I didn't want to be my stepdad. And the sad thing is, for the first 2 years of Mouse's life, I was.
Mouse is his baby. He calls him Mouse.
He is a mouse. Because I wanted to keep her anonymity. She wasn't born into fame and infamy.
Mm.
So if she chooses that life, then she can have her name. But up until then,
she's Mouse.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you didn't show up as your mom or as your stepdad, who did you show up as?
That's a tough one. You see, this is the question you should have given me ahead of the time. Some of the questions. Ask me again.
Okay. So if you didn't show up as your mom or as your stepdad, who did you show up as?
I only think of as me, hey? Yeah, it was critical to me that my child had access to me all the time, and she could talk to me about anything, anytime. It was critically important to me. And what was also critically important to me, I don't know where this influence came from, is that if there were other mentors, father-like figures, mother-like figures, that she gravitated to, I wouldn't get jealous and I wouldn't block it.
Right.
I would allow her to have those relationships as well. I would never want to be jealous of her love or affection for other humans. And so I think I was resentful of my mom blocking my relationship with my real dad. And I didn't want any of that to happen for my child. So I'm a result of my parents. But I don't parent like they did at all. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. But I mean, we are the result of our parents and environment and genes and so many other things. We've learned this on Baby Brunch, you know. So don't be too hard on yourself. Yeah. I think you're doing a great job.
Yeah?
Yeah. You're funny.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I watch you engaging with other people I watch her engaging with other people, and I'm very, very proud. She helped us this. My Anna and I were having a little bit of a disagreement, and then she came through and she said, guys. She quoted Rumi.
Mm-mm.
She came through and said, guys, you can't see clearly through boiling water.
Whoa. Whoa.
I know, right?
I love
both
that.
Of us like, both of us like, went, you're right. You turn down the temperature. We let this simmer, now that we can see each other.
Hmm.
And that was it. We're like, thank you, Janine.
Starting out, did you always want to be a dad? What was it like in the early days?
I never wanted to be a dad. I had actually made a vow to myself. I said, we will never have children. I've actually forgotten about it. It's been so long ago, I forgot about it.
What made you change?
Mouse's mother had a precancerous condition. And Preeta Govender had said to me, you know what, you should get a pregnant. Because it retards her cells and she has a better chance of regenerating.
This is an actual conversation?
This actually happened.
Okay.
And so I was like, really? She's like, yeah. So then I went home and so I hadn't really thought this through. And I said, hey, I heard that if you get pregnant, it's good. She's like, I heard the same thing. You want to do it? And she didn't want to have any more kids either because she had two.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And so we got busy with that and she got pregnant. And then we realized that, you know, we were not destined to be mom and dad, but we had this beautiful human being. So yeah, that was it. That I wish I could say it was something deeper.
It's actually beautifully deep. Did she become cured?
It went into remission for a while, and then it popped up again, and some chemo and radiation, back to good.
They say that sometimes our curse will become our blessing. And isn't it wonderful that something that wasn't so amazing at the time, like people separating, but you've got this beautiful daughter that you can be so proud of.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I'm very, very lucky. She's amazing. I don't know. Are all dads like that with their children? My child is really, really amazing.
Looking back at the first years, I mean, before you had your daughter, do you think that you wanted to get to know yourself much better? Or have had assistance in, I don't know, mental health or therapy or some kind of support? Do you feel you did it the right way, or do you feel like you needed to be better equipped as a dad before having a child?
I think if people can get equipped before they have children, definitely, definitely. Why is it not a course in school? Everyone's going to invariably have a child. Why don't they teach it? Just some elementary stuff at school.
Or someone will not be able to have a child. And even here on Parent and Baby Brunch, we say that there will be other things in life that will shape your life in such a way that it will be similar to having had a child anyway. And so I'm quite a big, I don't want to say advocate because I don't want to make it so official, but I'm quite supportive of people that say, I'm not able to have children, or I don't want to have children, or I really want to be a dad, or I really want to be a mom.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's quite interesting for me, because even in your own life, there's been so many changes in career and the things that you do, and then you had a child, you know, another change.
Yeah.
A big change.
Yeah. I think for the first couple of years, I was in such a panic and you know, baby Darren was driving a car.
Yeah.
You know, and I still had a substance problem and a drinking problem.
Right. And I actually forgot about that. Do you know that?
Yeah. Well, it's been, in November, I'm 15 years.
But it just, forgiveness is such a beautiful thing. It is. Forgive yourself.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Yeah, I agree. But I would say, to answer your question, I was in sort of denial and someone else was driving the car. And so I only really started the real parenting process when Mouse was 5 or 6. And then I became a full-time single dad from 9. So 9 to 17 has been the job, and it's fantastic. Yeah.
What's the best thing for you to be? I always think, because this is the glamorous side of me thinking about parenting and single parenting, that sometimes I think being a single parent could be much better sometimes because it's just you.
Yeah.
You know? What are the pros for you being a single parent at the time?
At the time of single parent, it was weird though, because the first 5 or 6 years, I only got to enjoy her during the holidays. But then I kind of missed the school run and the lunches and the school things and the growth and the homework. I really thought I would enjoy
that
because
of
I got a brain. And I thought I'd really, really nail the homework. And then she would come home with
grade four
homework. And I go, I don't know any of this. I am stupid. And, you know. And so I traded that role where she then got to have holidays with her mum. But I was doing the day to day, and I absolutely, absolutely loved it. I don't miss a single part of it. And there were pressure moments, and then there's the extramurals, and I think if anything, I'm like, it might be a painful dad because I want to know everything. So what did you learn today? You did, and when you do the pas de deux, is that where your feet go out? And were you able to do it? Did you extend off?
Can I do it with you?
Can we do it at home? Together. She's like, no, dad, none of the other dads ask this. a single parent, you do kind of wonder, okay, are we missing the female element. I'm the father of a young daughter here. Are there bits I'm missing out on? Again, there's that panic and there's the guilt and there's all of that. And then I got very, very lucky because the woman I fell in love with is just, she's a mom of two girls as well. So she'd done the whole journey. She had the whole toolkit and she came along and said, oh, let me help you with this. Oh. And so, and then I didn't have any of the skills of parenting all the teenagers. Mm. And she's like, oh, let me help you with that as well. So that was like a massive challenge there as well.
What advice do you have for someone going into a blended family? I'm a stepmom. I love being a stepmom. I love my children.
Yeah.
I remember at the time it was difficult. I remember the judgment from other people. So it's actually very interesting. So I remember my husband and I fell in love and I inherited a 6 and a 7 year old. They were really cute. And I remember other people's concern whether I was too young to parent or to become a mom. But now that I look back, I remember how I was the fun house.
Yeah. How did you feel about it?
I was the fun house and I got to play.
Yeah.
And you know what? Thank God I had older kids, because now that I'm doing it again with my two younger ones, it's not for the first time.
Yeah.
And now that we're into, my youngest is now 8, turning 9,
yeah,
and my eldest is turning 23.
Yeah.
I look back and I'm like, this has been good for me, you know?
Yeah.
And parenting teaches you something else. It teaches you to put yourself first, but also not to be selfish. And the one thing that I always tell blended families.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna ask you about that, because the one thing that being a stepmom also taught me is, I describe love like this, because people walking into a relationship where there's been relationship before is always concerned, but will your husband have enough time for you? You know, is it enough? Isn't he too busy with all the other elements of the previous life, like we would call it, or whatever? And I explain it like this. I always say walking into a relationship that's blended is like swimming in a pool.
Yeah.
If we all jump in, we're all going to get wet.
Yeah.
And so I think I want to take the fear out of that if you're marrying into a blended family, or if you're marrying a partner that has got children already, it should be calm and lovely. And it can be...
What to you is the biggest challenge?
I remember the biggest challenge of our blended family was on a Sunday when they had to go back into another routine. And it was always the hardest. So at the time, their school bags were green.
Yeah.
And I remember we would call it Groensakkiedag. Mm. Because when the green bags were standing at the door, ready to swap houses again, I could see my kids change. And that was hard.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. So it wasn't just me.
Mm-mm.
What
is the hardest thing for you about blended families? And what's the one thing that worked for you stepping into a blended family?
So I noticed that about my child. So she would go home on holidays or long weekends and spend time with mum. And then a day or two back, there's a different human being here. This is not my child. And the hardest lesson for me was to go, okay, just give it time. She needs time to assimilate, realize where she is again, how to behave, how to
adapt.
Be nice.
Like a leopard. Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
Then to my partner, my new partner had to figure this out firsthand.
Yes.
And then the hard part was like, I know that behavior there seemed disrespectful and rude, but it's not her. She's possessed right now. Just need to see her as possessed. She will come back,
She came from the other house.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So,
and listen, I want to say this for the record, okay? It's not that the other house was bad, it was different.
It was different.
Okay, yeah. So it's different.
Yes, definitely.
Yes, and so we have an expectation of a way to behave, which everyone seems to be very, very happy with, and then that was the biggest challenge.
Okay.
That was the first biggest challenge. The second biggest challenge is that, the assimilated children had a different understanding of kitchen etiquette than I did.
I love how you said that, the assimilated children.
Yes.
The children from your wife.
Yes, my
partner.
My new daughters.
Yes. Sure, you can call them new daughters.
They're my daughters.
Yeah. Sure. Or you can just call them daughters. Someone asked me when I had the kids as a stepmom.
Yeah.
And then when I had my children, someone said to me, so what was it like having a new baby?
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not sure if one calls them that. So it's interesting that you said The new children.
The new children.
Yes.
Yeah.
In this case, the older children. All
yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Was that a challenge for you?
The challenge is not taking it personal. So it's not a personal affront to you. They're not rebelling. This is just the way that they are.
Yeah.
And so finding out the areas that we can compromise on, make changes on, have discussions about, because also negotiations are very different.
Yes,
they're
definitely.
Very, very different.
Yeah.
I was a dad of a daughter, and now I'm negotiating two daughters who had a single mom. My daughter had a single dad. And so it's very, very different.
What's the outcome? I mean, if someone's watching and they're going, how did you do it? How did you do it? Is it grace? Is it mercy? Is it a
There's grace. 100%. It's like, it's not personal. It really, and it feels personal, and it is personal because it's your family. And then you wake up together the next day, and like these issues, are they resolved? And do you take the battle on today? Do you find other battles that are bigger than this? So it is grace. So it's like just going, you know what? Who are you? And is this really the end of the world? It's hard for me because OCD. There's places. Things need places. You put them in their places.
Like my scissors.
I want to get that. Here I am with a bag of soup and I need to open it because I'm making soup and I only have 15 minutes because then it's ballet, right? And then I open the, there's
and
no,
it's not there.
There's no,
hey.
And then you ask the house, hey, anyone know where the scissors are?
And no one answers.
No, it's not that no one answers. They go,
it's just scissors.
I don't know. Like, it's just scissors. Oh. The ambivalence.
Hey.
The not caring.
I understand. Do you know where I find the scissors?
Yeah.
In the craft drawer, covered in glue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I feel your pain.
Yeah. So you know what I do? I open the bag of soup with a nail clipper. And then I don't reveal how the bag of soup was opened and how we eat the soup.
But who cut their nails last with the nail clippers?
Well, I'll actually take whatever's available. I'll take garden shears. And I'll cut that bag of soup open. Or I should be making my own soup.
So I wanted to say this. I learned a coaching tool more recently. And it says the following, that sometimes when understanding is still taking place, which is a long time.
Yeah.
One has to assume that everything that people are doing, they are doing out of a place of goodness.
Yeah.
Because they actually don't know that they're either irritating or hurting you.
Yes.
And one can assume that at the time when they don't know is that they're doing it out of a place of
I don't believe there'll be anyone in your family that's doing... Come on. There's no one in your family that's doing it maliciously.
No, yeah. Thank God you said that because I was hoping that you wouldn't go the other side.
No.
You're a comedian.
No. If you have someone in your family that's doing stuff that's not from a good place, you are in. That's going to be a most painful place. Oh, hell. That must be...
What was harder for you? Divorce? Moving into a blended family? Or take it right back to 12-year-old you growing up.
So, okay. So, the first, mom, we were not married. We just, we bought a house and had a child. So, common.
Sure. That's divorce.
Right. Separation.
Sure.
Yeah. We didn't need lawyers.
You could have had one.
You could have had.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was hard. I think 12-year-old was the hardest. I'll tell you why. Because you haven't learned coping skills.
Yeah.
You are. It's all raw, and it's end of the world stuff. That 12-year-old Darren went on to become 14-year-old Darren, who was very naughty. Not very naughty.
Naughty.
I would say for my period was run of the mill naughty.
Did you smoke?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, because that would be really bad. And then you said yes.
Yeah. No, okay. I would say I had a binge drinking problem from 15.
I understand.
Yeah. And no, it was a problem.
I don't understand, actually. I'm being mindful because this is true for many families and even in my own. And so I want to say I understand based on that. Yeah.
But here's the thing. I never intended to hurt.
No.
Never, ever, ever. And even now, it fills me with dread and horror that anything that I do or say could really, really hurt you. And that's, I don't know if that's true of everyone, but I know that it's true of me.
If you have a look at your journey of healing and how you just grew up to be this remarkable person today, you know, 12-year-old you, who was very unsure and very hurt, and I want to, yeah, I'm meeting that 12-year-old right now. So thank you so much for sharing him with me. If you look at your biggest achievements, and I mean, I know your CV, you've won so many awards in radio and in comedy. If you had to speak to 12-year-old self right now and give him a pat on the back of some of the things that you've achieved in life and fatherhood, what would you say to him?
Oh, I wouldn't give him a heads up about any of the stuff that happens, because that's great. Oh,
okay.
No, I wouldn't give him a heads up.
Right.
I would tell him it's going to be okay.
Okay.
That's it. I think that's all he needed to know. It's going to be okay. Yeah, you know what? It was like at home, there was abuse. And then I was at boarding school with like a whole bunch of really bigger boys from Carltonville, of all places. And they were abusive. And then, you know, we had corporate.
You know, punishment. This is a podcast, right? So even though our video can't see that you're making these grappies in between.
People can't see that?
No.
They can hear. They can hear something.
I hope they can. So,
no, but hang on.
So everyone listening to the podcast.
Who's going to come for me now?
Well, they might come from me.
Okay. Fuck them.
Nee.
Nee.
Genuchtig nee.
Okay. Klaar.
Stop.
Orkney.
Ek het familie daar.
Nee.
No, but I hear you.
Familie of gesin.
What's the biggest achievement? What do you want to say to him? As a dad, I have achieved.
To 12-year-old.
Mm. Start with, as a dad, I have achieved.
Oh, this is horrible. Go. Do you do this to everyone?
Yes.
So I, as a dad, I tell my 12-year-old.
Yes. I would tell my 12-year-old self.
I would tell my 12-year-old self that as a dad, oh, this is horrible. This is horrible. Because you want to tell your 12-year-old self your accomplishments, and like you become bona fide. You become a real deal. But at the same time, I'm like, what do I want to tell my 12-year-old about my 12-year-old daughter? And then I wonder, did I do okay by her? Because she can also be very anxious. She can also be very anxious. And I wonder if she's anxious from DNA anxious, or like, is it upbringing?
Or just look at the lighter side of it. Remember, they're different. They're growing.
Yeah.
Someone said to me the other day, they were changing jobs, and they said to me, I wasn't going to a new job. They said I was growing. Growing is painful.
Yeah.
Health happens because we need to change a habit,
mm-hmm.
or something happened in your body. And trauma happens because something happened, and we need to, please God, recover from it.
Yeah.
And so...
Okay, I'm good.
Yeah, okay.
I would say to my 12-year-old self, I would say, do you want me to do that again?
No, just talk to me.
Okay. Because I can do that. I don't know. Are we doing performance dance? Are we on stage dance?
No.
Are we doing radio dance?
You are in my house.
Am I with my
shirt? I want to give you a sandwich. All I want to do is feed you because you came all the way. I want to give you Zimbas.
Yeah. What's a Zimbas?
Like chips.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Zimbas.
Yeah, Zimbas. Yeah. But it's not actually Zimba. It's something else. But yes. I want to give you junk food. So speak to your 12-year-old self.
All right. I would say 12-year-old self, your future self becomes accomplished as a comedian, as an MC, as a breakfast show radio host, as a real-time live interactive voice character artist. And so you have nothing to fear. And by the way, you get pretty good at a whole bunch of things, and you're never going to be an astronaut. I'm sorry. You're too tall. And you have bad eyesight. They weren't accepting. Tall, gangly, half blind. South Africans into the astronaut program. I'm sorry, and you're not going to be an F1 driver.
And don't look away from this, and this is my serious hat. Don't look away from the fact that, because I've known you in many hats too,
yeah.
That you're sober.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. So 12-year-old self. In 3 years, you start drinking badly. And then 20 or so years after that, you are able to just say no in one day. It was amazing, that thing. It was amazing. It was actually quite an amazing thing. I look back at that and I go, wow, that was amazing. But it wasn't one day. I'd been negotiating, lying to myself for about 5 years. And then one day I said, oh, the lying to yourself's not working. You either need to make a call. You're going to drink yourself into an early grave, or you're going to quit and give this a bash. So I tried the quit route, because that was new to me, by the way. I'd only known drinking. since I was 15. I'd only ever been a drinking adult. So to say, I'm going to try being a sober adult, I think it was like one of the biggest things I ever did. And I did it, and I'm doing it.
I'm super proud of you.
Yeah, I'm proud of me about that as well.
Yeah.
You know, I could go and get a shot of whiskey right now and finish and end it all. It's always, you want shot
There's away. Possibility, of course.
Yeah.
But it's not what you want.
No.
Because you will just destroy things and stuff it all up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine that we are introducing you on stage.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is this camera. Okay, hi, guys. And then I'm going to say, please welcome Darren Moll. And then I want an exact 3 minutes comedy stint about parenting. Okay.
Yeah.
So I need an opening joke. Are you ready?
Oh, snap.
Okay. All right. So this is Parents and Baby Brunch, and we've got Darren Moll in the chair. I'm giving him a challenge. And because he's a comedian and a show host and a voiceover artist and wears many hats, I'm giving him his stint, 3 minutes on the clock, one joke. It has to be parenting related. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Darren Moll.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good to be here. Don't forget to tip your waitress. I haven't spoken about Mouse in the longest time because when she turned about 12, 13, she said to me, Dad, you need to stop making me radio content. Okay? Everyone comes to me at school and asks me, did that really happen? And you kind of exaggerate and dare I say lie a little bit, Dad. So can you just not? And so I haven't for a while. So if I'm going to tell you a parenting story, it would be never react badly to poo. I don't know if they tell you this enough, but when you're a new parent and you're changing a nappy, it can be repulsive. Okay. Especially that transition from liquids to food. It can be a little bit like that. However, it can be traumatic for the child if you react badly. Poo must be good. Celebrate poo. You don't ever want a child to go and hold it back. That's bad. So what, strangely enough, I found out from my child that when you sing during changing, it calms them. There's less wiggling and there's less trouble. So problem is, I can't sing and I can't remember song words. So I would just make them up. And I remember I started with, I made a girl and Bella is her name. Since she was born, oh, my life's not been the same. And then she would go, 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 go. And then there was this one time I opened it up and it was napalm. It was like, rah, rah, rah. And I reacted badly. I did, but my comeback was good because I went, blah, and then my comeback was like, what a poo. How does it feel now you soiled your drawers? What a poo. And it worked. It worked. And we have a great poo history. Thank you. I'm here all week. Just tell your friends.
Okay, your last challenge. That was pretty good. Yeah.
I haven't done that shtick in since Mao said don't do.
I like the poop joke.
You like the poop?
Yeah, what a poop. I like that. We'll play it on the piano just now. Okay, so if you had to present 1 3-minute radio link on East Coast Radio, the sister station of Jacaranda FM, part of our support here on Baby Brunch, about the single most important moment in parenting. It doesn't have to be funny.
Yeah.
What would it be and what would you say to your listeners?
It's
time for radio. You're going into your radio link on East Coast Radio. The jingle is playing go East Coast Radio. Durban's number one. Does it say that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Durban's number one. Turn to your dial down more. Soon to be Kelly on East Coast on East Coast Radio.
Why do you put your hands there?
Because it's part of the reverb.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my word.
No, you don't have to do it. You
Oh, hey there, it's Darren Moll.
Radio.
Here's an ends number one hit music station. Oh, East Coast Radio. The single most important thing that you learn as a parent, I'm going to try and tell you right now. It's going to take a while, so we'll make sure that you don't have any distractions whatsoever. And I'll reward you, by the way. If you stick with me on this one, I will reward you with the new chaperone. All right, which you're going to love. It's a collab, and it's probably her best work. In actual fact, imagine the cause started all over again in a young rebel Alanis Morissette. That's literally what I'm going to reward you with. So here's the critical lesson I want to give you today, and I've learned this firsthand, and I want you to take this lesson. I don't want you to learn this the way I did. I want you to take it and learn it now so you don't ever have to learn it firsthand. If you ever leave your child at school, forget to pick her up. Maybe you got things mixed up or whatever. Whatever you do, lie. You got caught in the traffic. You were mugged. You were held at gunpoint. Whatever you do, never ever tell that child that you forgot them. Never. They will bring it up in every negotiation for the rest of your life until they're in their mid-20s. Whatever you do, never ever tell them, whoopsie daisies, it slipped my mind, and I'm sorry you had to wait 25 minutes outside the ballet class with all the other ballet people because daddy was a little bit frazzled. My advice to you is to lie. I'm giving you permission to lie to your child and tell them something very, very important out of your control happened. Never give them that power over you. And there you go. Thank you for sticking with me. Here is the new Chapel Road. You're going to absolutely love it. And after that, I have a sit-down chin regularly with Ilana Africa. And I want to find out what's it like in Joburg. And do you really bless the rains down in Africa?
East Coast Radio. Darren Moore. Soon to be Kelly.
I'm not going to take that. I'm taking the jingle. Darren Moore, soon to be Kelly.
Soon to be Kelly.
I like this hack as well. Whenever I tell radio stories at gigs, I never do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to take the mic and put it here, and I'm going to do this.
So you know how you've been in radio for 15 years, and I've been in radio for 21 years.
Wow, you're like my Yoda.
I want to tell you that you're really good.
You're really good.
And I'm proud of you. And a sober husband is a much better husband because then we can have conversations. So I want to commend you for making the change. Because I'm not just thanking you for you. I'm thanking you for every man that is supporting a family and for every woman that looks up to their dad and their husband. So thanks for trying.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. You have recollections. You've had engagements with the other Darren.
I have. He was okay. He was funny. But oh boy, did he smell like whiskey. I mean, like
all the time.
And smoke.
Yeah.
Your breath, and you're quite higher than me.
Yeah.
So I would look into your face and smell your breath.
Whiskey was actually tequila. It was tequila and cigarettes. You know what?
You're a gift. You're a gift.
Thank you.
You're also late because now our entire team has to stay overtime because you were late. And our next guest is here.
It's the next guest here?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for having me.
And your
pleasure. By the way, this is a fun fact. You'll like this. Do you know I still drink in my dreams? Some mornings I wake up and I'm going, oh my God, what? And I'm like, oh wait, no. There's no bubblers. There's no, oh, there's no headache. Oh my, none of that happened. I wake Anna up in a panic and I go, I'm so sorry. Oh, but it didn't happen. It's fine. It didn't happen. It's so weird. How weird is that?
I don't have it, but it sounds awfully weird.
Yeah. Okay, not all the time. It's not like it's all the time. Sometimes.
Every night?
No. Oh. No. Like once in a blue moon. Which is? How often?
The other day.
We had a blue moon. No, we had a blood moon.
Oh, that was pretty blue.
I think a blue moon is when you have two full moons in a month. That's it.
I'm just glad that you are dreaming about your alcohol habits.
No, I'm not dreaming of it. Sometimes it's invasive thoughts.
Yeah.
So it invades and.
But it's also a big reminder because you feel that adrenaline and that fright that you have when you wake up.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? It's telling you not to do it.
Do you think that's what it is?
Yeah, it's a reminder.
What does it do? Well, I still have dreams that I fly as well, which I'm happy about. Apparently, that stops in your 40s. But I still fly in my dreams. Don't you fly in your dreams? Like proper, like running down the road and just...
No, I'm not. I don't.
I wonder if there's a dream escapologist there that's like listening to this
guy. Yeah, there's people all the time.
Dreaming about...
We're South Africa's number one parenting podcast.
Oh, okay. Well, if they could let you know and then you let me know, what does it mean when you still dream of flying?
Info@babybrunch.co.za.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast. A quick thanks to our support. This podcast is supported by Epimax, the dermatologist recommended skincare range specifically formulated to hydrate, soothe, and protect. Whether it's dry skin, sensitive skin, or just everyday moisture, Epimax has a solution for everybody. Fragrance-free, hypoallergenic, and suitable for all ages. Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life.